Hi there, this is Dr. Peter Tobias, and this is Dog School for Cool, this time with Kathy Gibson, one of my favorite dog people. Kathy is an animal listener, and she is amazing when it comes to solving problems for dogs and their people. She's also been the person behind helping me with Sky, and that's why he's such an amazing and well-behaved dog. And I'm so excited to have Kathy here, and she's going to be recording some podcasts with me, and we'll hopefully be able to help you how to keep your dog well-behaved and out of trouble and also safe.
So, Kathy, tell me a little bit about your history and how did you become a dog person, a dog guru? I'm not going to call you Whisperer.
Thank you.
How did you become a dog person?
One of my apprentices called me a dog listener, and I like that because that's what I do. I listen to dogs. From the time I was a real little kid, they'd find me in the yard of the neighbor dog that was the guard dog, and I'd be in the yard playing with him and petting him, and anybody else would have gotten bitten. So I used to collect dogs in the winter that were out in the street and cold and looking lost, and take care of them in our basement where the furnace was nice and hot, and then I'd wander through the neighborhood and try and find who owned the dog. And the newspaper in that city used to put out ads for me, and the radio station used to put out ads, and I'd call in. So I was on a mission to save dogs.
So I've heard that you were the youngest founder of a dog rescue organization. Like you were barely walking almost.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't allow me to do it today. They had too much liability.
Obviously, dogs didn't care, and they were very lucky to have you. I also understand that you were knocking at the door of different homes and figuring out finding homes for dogs. And and then if they couldn't take the dog, you asked for money. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm normally fairly shy and not given to salesmanship, but when it came to taking care of the dogs, I was willing to do anything to help them. So it was definitely a calling.
So tell me more about the work that you do, about Dog School for Cool in my world, but for you it's social.
That's a funny name. Cooperative social teaching. I kind of like Dog School for Cool.
By the way, Kathy wanted to steal it. When I came with that idea, then she wanted it, really wanted it. I said, no, no, no. I'm very territorial when it comes to names.
I only said it to make him feel
good. We can share. How about that?
Oh, great.
Do dogs share bones, by the way,
sure,
ever?
Dogs do.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Sometimes
there you
they
go.
Share right from the beginning. Sometimes they do what I call bone merry-go-round. Because once they've chewed the bones, they'll get up and leave their bone. And then as soon as every dog's left, then they'll start to move around to chew each other's bones.
So, see, if dogs do that, we can share the name. How about that? So, Kathy, tell me, on a serious note, tell me about what you do.
Well, what I have learned over the last 30 years of teaching is that dogs like us love to be told when they're wonderful, love to be helped and guided and made feel safe. So my focus really is to teach people to do what the very reverse of what so much of our training and teaching in our culture is about, where we focus on the negatives instead of the positives. So what I do is teach people not to worry about the things that the dog's having problems with and mistakes they're making. I focus on what they're doing well. So now the secret becomes, so clearly the dogs are going to be making some mistakes or doing things inappropriately as they learn. How can we focus on the positive if we don't also take care of their disasters, like my dog running through a mud puddle and jumping on somebody in a white suit? So I developed a system that I call baseline guidance mode, which you probably find boring to that name. So
it's very, very, very scientific. I've been working for the last 25 years. I've been trying to kind of neutralize the medical language that is in Latin. Sometimes people don't understand what it is about. And, you know, just make it actually really simple and easy. Mm-hmm. So maybe I've gone too far now. I can't even handle any scientific word. But what I wanted to say, so you're saying negative, positive. Is your work similar to positive training?
No. Not in the sense that positive reinforcement training really is a technique to get the dog again to do something you want. In my teaching, it's not about making the dog do anything. It's about building a relationship and helping the dog to learn self-control needed to be to enjoy it, being in that relationship, to learn how to give and take in a relationship. Relationships require everybody to compromise and give and take. It's called social altruism when they study animals, where you learn to not get what you want immediately for the good of the group.
Give me some examples, because I'm still a little unclear what the difference is.
Simple thing like...
between positive training and your way.
Positive training, a dog's jumping on the counter to grab food. So in positive reinforcement training, they would try and teach the dog another behavior, like when they come into the kitchen, they have to hold a sit-stay. They'd also say they've got to hold a sit-stay before they get their food. And everything would be about controlling the dog jumping on the counter. So in my, when my version of the universe, I try and understand why the dog's jumping up. So if I have a dog that's jumping on the counter because he's a stray that came into my home starving to death, jumping on the counter is a perfectly reasonable survival tactic. So I would never want to correct that, or I would never want to try and control that. Instead, I would keep access away from the kitchen as I gradually build their ability to learn what to do in the kitchen. Now, teaching them what to do, okay. An example. Let me give you an example of a dog that I had that not only came into the kitchen and jumped on the counter with front paws, but jumped up on the counter with all four paws. Big Dobie, and I walked into the kitchen and I said, oh, you're on the counter like a cat. And he was very hungry and totally food obsessed. So all I did is every time I went into the kitchen, he was attached to me so that he couldn't jump on the counter, but he was in the kitchen with me. Every time I went into the kitchen, I gave him something. We left the kitchen. When I went in to prepare some food, I'd give him some food. We'd leave the kitchen. This dog was totally obsessed over food. So what I did was I satisfied that obsession. He constantly got food. Constantly. He knew he never had to worry about getting food. It was always going to come. And once he knew that, he just very naturally stopped jumping on the counter. There was no need for it. That's social teaching.
So it's almost like if you see that someone has a weakness, that you just kind of... feed the weakness in a way. You help them. You kind of acknowledge them. You don't discount it. You don't say that it's bad.
No.
You just basically try to understand and you try to make it weaker and weaker, because if a dog is not hungry, then he's most likely not going to be jumping on the counter.
That's
and
right.
He's going to also learn the habit that when he comes in the kitchen, he doesn't jump on the counter. He just gets something that is nice.
Yeah.
And so what would you do if a dog begs for those treats?
If I have a dog that's begging, there's several different methods we use, and it all comes out of this skill that I have called baseline guidance. And baseline guidance is a way of being with your dog that manages, prevents. It allows you to not have to say no, bad dog, because you're managing the problem. So I had one family, busy family. I had one family that was very, very busy, and they had four kids and a nanny, and a mom and a dad, and a grandma and grandpa, all coming to the kitchen table. And dog was begging. Granny was feeding the dog. The kids were feeding the dog. So, of course, the dog was begging. So all I had her do was tie the dog on a leash about 3 feet from the table and put him on a bed, and that's when he got a bone to chew. So he was having supper with the family. But he wasn't getting food given to him, and he wasn't able to beg. So...
Wow, that's really great.
And then within a week, he just wasn't begging anymore. He just curled up on his bed all by himself.
That really, really sounds good. And I'm really looking forward to having more sessions and more sessions on how to make our dogs super dogs and amazing dogs who will make our life even better than when they misbehave. I know that we normally forgive anything to our dogs. We don't forgive humans, but we forgive dogs. But it'd be lovely if my clients and listeners and our community learns how to deal with day-to-day troubles with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you so much for coming. I'm really looking forward to having more sessions, as I said. And if you have any questions, you can email Kathy at discovery@customcanine.com. Custom Canine is spelled word by word, letter by letter. And if you have any questions, or if you are looking forward to more School for Cool podcasts, you can register at peterdobias.com. And if you register, you will not miss one single one, because we'll be letting you know when the new ones come up. So thank you for listening and take care.